GM and good mooming recruits, you are now listening to M00M Theater on the Air. I'm your founder and host, Geographic, and you are listening to Episode 7, Chapter 7, Silver City. Episode 7, Chapter 7, Silver City. Chapter 7, Silver City. From what she could tell, the outskirts of town where they were presently stationed was a dust bowl. A dry breeze, the cracking of her lips, and a lonely silence only found itself broken by the gusts of whistling wind. She clung her leather jacket tight, and with one hand secured its detachable cloth hoodie over her head. She had easily snuck by the singular unassuming fate worker at the Quantrux charging station, and was mentally prepared for her next accomplishment. Securing food and weaponry was top of mind.
I can't believe this. There's nothing here, just dust.
She said to herself as she removed the fake fate clarity chip and superglue from her pocket, adhering it to her temple, an artifact that was continuously appreciating. A trace amount of glue stuck to her hoodie as the wind pressed the chip against it as it rapidly dried. The BBS on her phone pinged. It was Kevin.
How you doing out there? Is everything okay?
Yeah, it's going great, guys. There's not a human in sight, and I'm fighting to keep the dust out of my eyes. I'm looking at the map system, and it says there should be a small bar or something just up the road, but I'm not seeing anything.
She replied, feeling slightly defeated as the gusts of wind grew louder and more intense.
You know our map system is shit, right? It hasn't had an update in like 20 years. Sometimes I think it would be easier if one of us were Chip. At least we'd have the dopest tech.
And there's an added bonus. You'd be a total zombie and wouldn't have to care about any of this.
Wait, I think I see it up ahead.
She yelled over the wind as it disrupted the microphone, chopping up her signal. The small bar establishment, which was on her phone's dramatically outdated version of maps, looked like it had been closed for longer than she was even alive. No signs of life.
Gold, I'm sensing our connection is losing strength. We're lacking line of sight due to the weather conditions. You may be on your own, Shirley.
Moom said, doing a decent job covering for Roger's previous sit-rep situation report responsibilities. A large rock found itself leaving her hand and crashing through the glass paneling of the entrance door of the abandoned bar. And then with her left boot, she kicked out the remaining glass from the door's frame. The sun was slightly low in the sky, but there was still plenty of daylight to hopefully illuminate the inside of the abandoned structure. She crouched, entered, and began exploring. The roof had cracks from age, which presented god rays of sunlight that peeked through and hit the ground. The dust in the air made it look particularly magical. For Goldstar, this place was unlike anything she had ever seen before. And upon walking around a few dimly lit corners, she was met with an area that looked like it was once some type of performance stage. The roof in this part of the building was the most damaged, so visibility was the strongest. A red theater cloth, matted in dust, was hung from the ceiling. She hopped up on the stage and ran her hands through the aged textile. A hint of golden embroidery on the fabric caught her eye as she did. She wiped the dust off, uncovering what it said. She let out a dusty cough.
Buckhorn Saloon and Opera House? Established 1860?
The thought of being somewhere that old with that much history made even the tiniest hairs raise up from her skin, sending a chill straight down her spine. Fate had done a scarily impressive job removing and altering as many elements representing pre-One World history as possible. And for the most part, in major cities that she was used to, like Los Angeles, older places representing the previous culture had been removed. She turned around and addressed any potential ghosts that may have been lingering in the audience and did a graceful pirouette.
Thank you, thank you.
She took a bow. And as she brought her head back up, she was met with something far more useful than an applause. A small dirt bike with a side satchel equipped with a hatchet and a gasoline rotopack was ominously sitting in the corner near the theater entrance. She immediately snapped a photo and uploaded it to the BBS in a private chat between her, Kevin, Moon. With just enough service to squeeze out an upload, quote-unquote LFG was the caption she wrote and hit enter and immediately hopped on the bike, reconsulting her outdated map.
Okay, Mr. Map. One win for me not being a zombie today. Let's go for two. Looks like the city center is, 8 miles away.
She flipped the power safety switch, turned the key, and double-checked the clutch. The bike sputtered, dying quickly.
Second time's the charm.
She sputtered herself. Nothing.
Third time's the...
The engine kicked into gear, and wasting no time, she ripped around the broken glass door entrance and accelerated, taking a sharp left, the first instruction from her map software indicating that was the way to town. Back at the container, a deep rumbling sound was audible. Moom was getting his first lesson in pre-one-world hip-hop, or for him, hip-hop of any kind. The sounds of heavy-hitting 808s and the electronic tones of autotune slapped his hearing receivers.
This sounds interesting. I haven't heard anything like this before.
This that before One World shit. One of the legends from when I was a kid. Vega Genesis. Him, Junior Junior, and Young Satoshi used to drop straight fire.
The bass from the music lightly shook the container, causing the metal to move back and forth ever so slightly, emitting tiny vibrations across the entire quant truck, in the way that only good bass can.
Bruh, we may need to turn it down just a bit. The walls are rattling. Someone outside may hear us. Bro, when was the last time the smoke detectors were checked?
00. As Mission Commander, your official directive is to just chill.
But you're not really Mission Commander though, my G. And technically, I don't work for either of you.
That's true. I agree. But how many more chill moments are we going to have on this crazy ass mission? This might be the last one. You gotta learn to enjoy yourself when and where appropriate. Besides, one, this mission is all made up. We got no clue why we're even doing what we're doing. And two, she's out of line of sight range anyways. I doubt we'll even hear from her for another few hours.
She's only got 6 hours left and I'm worried about her. And my God, that smoke smells just like when a Skylaxian dies on my homeworld.
That's a good rebrand idea for when more of your container friends show up. We'll call it Skarlaxian OG. And don't worry about Gold. She's a weird little ninja. She'll be fine.
I have no clue what you're talking about, but get this. We just got a positive reply on the BBS for escargot.
You did? Forward it to Gold.
Are you sure we can't eat the escargot?
Bruh.
I'm really hungry all of a sudden.
I told you escargot is weapons. That Skarlaxian OG got you geeking.
It's fine. She's already on the thread, but she has no service.
Don't trip about the service. If there's a weapons dealer, it's a guarantee she'll pick up service on their relay as soon as her phone comes across the signal. Good work, 00.
If you're expecting me to say aye aye, Captain, I won't.
The sun had started to set, slightly receding as she sped across miles of land. She could finally see indicators of life and signs of people in the distance. From the POV of her helmet, spaced out by about a quarter mile each, singular, brightly colored beams of yellow, blue, and red pushed through the dust-filled sky, shooting upwards towards outer space. She squinted, trying to make out the details while still paying attention to the unpaved roads as she bumped along. At the base of the light emission source, she was able to make out the tops of buildings and concluded that each light represented a different Clarity casino. A large holographic overhang welcomed her to the town. It read Silver City in sparkly 3D text, and just past it was an extremely old quantum floating tram system, transporting chipped patrons from wherever the hell they were coming from to their Clarity casino of choice. Identifying a station entry point, she cut the power to her bike, sliding to a careful stop, parking it fully exposed on its own. She watched from a distance as the chipped casino goers walked past the tram entrance platform and boarded. She didn't see any scanners checking for chips. It looked like the tram system was free. The outdated holotech sign above the station platform projected, Gulf Park Station.
I guess I can just... Use it,
she thought as she nudged herself in line behind a few chip heads as they stepped onto a walk assist escalator platform in a single file line. One of the things about chipped humans is they never appear to be in a rush and usually lack any and all sense of urgency. That was because they weren't in a rush. They were just the equivalent of programs executing a predetermined function. A function in which time was not of the essence. Nothing was of the essence, because everything they did in life didn't truly matter. Their actions and thoughts were hardly even their own, and the small hits of adrenaline that they would get from winning or losing here was all a scam. The only reason Fate and Clarity even allowed them to partake in these activities was to keep the gears in the overall machine that is One World spinning. Think about it like a car's engine. Thousands of tiny moving parts with gears of different sizes, all laddering up to the output of a vehicle burning gas and driving. But even the smallest gears and moments they produce are needed so that the largest gears spin and prosper and move things along. Clarity pulled a continuous blanket over its users' eyes, convincing them that whatever they were doing was actually their own choice, and that the things they did each day were the things they had to do, because that was life. But with the mass majority of the world chipped, including the founder and creator of Clarity itself, what was the purpose of it all? And more importantly, if she really overthought everything about it, who was truly benefiting? Cold Star was annoyed about standing with the sluggish chipped and began slithering her way through the crowd at a moderately acceptable pace in order to not cause any security camera algorithms to detect unusual motions. As she did, she rubbed a few shoulders.
Hey, watch out,
said a random woman she knocked into, with about as much conviction and liveliness in her voice as someone in a coma.
My bad,
she replied as a formality, continuing her motion through the crowd, ultimately arriving at the tram boarding entrance 20 minutes faster than she would have if she maintained her original position in line.
Hello, Clarity community, and welcome to Go Park Station, your gateway to the Silver City experience. This is where winners are made. Need something while enjoying your trip? Just think Speak with Masai. I'm here for you.
You mean this is where sadness and addiction is made?
Gold Star accidentally let slip.
Why would you say something so negative? This place is the tits,
said the chiphead next to her, who was obviously out of practice when it came to speaking from his mouth.
Whatever. Just think Speak with Masai and let her know you think it's the tits, and then ask to see her tits. I'm sure she'll show you. With Clarity, everything is possible, right?
Gold Star replied, reflecting on how shitty chipped society is.
Oh, that's a good idea,
the guy replied as he continued on with his brainless day. The casino tram coasted along the dusty airborne pathway.
You are now arriving at the Dreamview Dolphin Casino and Resort.
The doors opened, and the majority of chipheads slowly walked out.
Please mind the gap. Please mind the gap.
The Masai transmission urged over the speaker system.
The next stop is Ever Saloon Lucky Ranch.
But she missed that detail as her phone was hit with a ping on the BBS. The phone had connected to a local network operated by other chip resistors and had regained service. She opened the message as the tram continued. It read, Escargot available at Status World, inside of Supper Club. Send Doc's selfie for entry. We'll find you. She noticed that Roger, aka Moom, liked the post. She followed the instructions, took a discreet selfie, and replied back, affirmative.
You are now arriving at Status World, Silver City's most luxurious high roller experience.
Thanks, you evil AI bitch. Don't mind if I do, and now to find Supper Club.